The text is the gospel reading from St. John. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Here ends our text. As with last Sunday, so with this, we're face to face with John the Baptist. The colic focuses on him, which is fitting since Advent is a season of repentance. But this morning we lit the pink candle, which sparks a note of joy. But how do you find joy in John? Of the four Advent candles, the pink one is the only one to specifically mean something. It's a case of going from liturgy to wreath. What I mean is that the Advent wreath only dates to the 19th century. Long before it came the season of Advent, and the historic introit and colic reflected the pink candle. The first line of the introit was, "Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice." The colic, rather than praying that we may serve you in holiness and righteousness, asked God instead to lighten the darkness of our hearts. The third Sunday in Advent is a respite in the penitential season of Advent. The purple of Advent, which stands for repentance, is lightened into a pink, which strikes a note of Christmas joy. The colic and introit, with their notes of lightning, darkness, and rejoicing, those are the ones appointed in the Lutheran hymnal. Lutheran Worship, the hymnal that was published in the 80s, they switched to the ones found in your insert. They switched away from rejoicing and focused on John the Baptist. The Lutheran Service Book, the hymnal most recently published, it split the difference. It returned to the 16th century colic of the Lutheran hymnal, but kept the introit of Lutheran worship. There's no denying that even though the third Sunday in Advent was a lightning of repentance, historically the gospel lesson for this Sunday did focus on John. And so we're back to the problem of finding joy in John. My first impression is that with John, there is no joy. No joy is a term the military uses. A pilot reports, no joy. A search team radios back, no joy. It means the pilot didn't hit what he was aiming at. The search team didn't find what it was looking for. So even though we lit the pink candle, after hearing about and hearing from John the Baptist, is our report no joy. Well, what did you come here looking for? Did you come to this third Sunday in Advent looking for positive thinking? How about I'm okay, you're okay? Maybe you came looking for that much talked about but seldom seen Christmas spirit. I know this spirit. It's a feeling that comes over me when I hear silver bells, jingle bells, or chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Even though I've never heard silver bells, I've never rode in a one-horse open sleigh, I've never seen chestnuts roasting anywhere, still, they invoke for me the spirit of Christmas. What did you come here looking for? If you're looking for what is not here, there will be no joy because you can't find what's not here. You won't get joy out of this sermon, let alone service, if what you're seeking is feeling, spirits, and things in line with the world around you. The spirit of the shopping mall, the spirit of the holiday TV special, the spirit of Christmas past, it isn't here. So if that's what you're searching for, no joy for you. What are you aiming for? Did you come here aiming for the perfect Christmas? Are you aiming to be able to say great when people ask, how was your Christmas? Are you aiming at all the things the world is aiming for this time of year? Just the right gifts, food, family, parties, lights. Well, then there's no joy for you either. You can't hit these things shooting from here. If you're aiming for what Jimmy Stewart ends up with in A Wonderful Life, Scrooge gets in A Christmas Carol, or the miracle on 34th Street, you are aiming for what the world has, and you can't hit it from the church. The joy of the world is not found here. So if that's what you're aiming at or searching for, all you can report is no joy. There is no joy here, but there is jubilation. Our English word joy comes from the Latin gaudere, where our English word gaudy comes from. Gaudere refers to showy outward splendor. That's what Christmas commercials are bursting with. From the Budweiser Clydesdales trotting into town to Target having everything but the elves of Christmas. But showiness, outward splendor, is not found in John. Remember last week? He was described as clothed in camel's hair and eating locusts. Let's see Budweiser make a Christmas commercial with locusts, or Target do so with camel hair clothing. Joy in the sense of gaudiness has never been what we aimed at or searched for. Try putting the concept of gaudy in Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for the night, but gaudiness comes in the morning. How about in Psalm 4? Thou hast put gaudiness in my heart more than when their wine and their grain increased. How about John 16? A woman giving birth to a child has pain, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her gaudiness, that a child is born into the world. Gaudiness, that's the target the world sets before you and sets you in search of. Jubilation is why we lit the pink candle, because you can find jubilation in John. Jubilation comes from the Latin jubilare, which is an exultant cry. Early Christian writers used it with the sense to rejoice in the Lord as the hunter in his quarry. Now, if you're not a hunter, you might have a hard time getting that. It's not that the hunter thinks, yes, there's the thing that I get to kill. No, he thinks, there at last is the animal I've sat here freezing, wet, and miserable for. There at last is the animal I've walked miles for. There's the quarry I've waited and waited for. It sets the heart to pounding and the blood to racing. John will bring you jubilation. Listen to him. He cries out much like Jimmy Dean does in Big Bad John. At the time, after the mine caves in, after the trapped miners have all but given up, Big Bad John uses his huge frame and mighty strength to lift the beam. And then the miners cry out, and you can hear the jubilation in that song. They cry out, there's a light up above. But there's a difference with John's cry. It's not there's a light up above. No, there's a light down here, down below. John testified that the true light was coming into this world. You know how downcast, how moody, how despairing some people can be when there's day after day of heavy cloud cover? And if you do hunt, you know how unnerved animals become when a thunderhead spreads darkness across the land in the middle of the day. John testifies that this present darkness, which comes from the grip of sin, death, and devil, this present darkness' grip on fallen mankind is broken. The light has come. The light of God shines on earth in the person and work of Jesus. Not just love came down at Christmas, but light did. Light always overcomes darkness, right? You light one single candle and the accursed darkness is driven back. Jesus drove back the darkness of sin, death, and devil by taking on our sins, dying our death, and by willingly being delivered over to the devil. with his means of grace. Jesus shines forgiveness into our sinfulness, life into our death, and drives back the prince of darkness. Baptism clothes us with his light. Absolution puts his light into our ears. And in communion, we in darkened people eat and drink light. There's jubilation in John. There's reason to light the pink candle today. John lets us know that God is still on speaking terms with this fallen world. After 400 years of being silenced, after 400 years from when God last spoke to the prophet Malachi, finally we hear in Luke 3, the word of God came to John in the desert. Of course, it's even better news than that. John didn't just hear a word from God. John announced that God's word had come in flesh and blood. The one the prophets promised, the one the church waited for, the one sinners longed for, was at last here. So did you come here today aiming to hear a word from God? Did you come to divine service on this third Sunday in Advent in search of the word made flesh? Well, you found your quarry. You've hit your target. Jesus speaks to you today. To you who can find nothing in body and soul but sin, Jesus speaks forgiveness and absolution. To you who can find nothing but death and damnation in body or soul, Jesus speaks life and salvation, body to body, blood to blood. You may indeed have walked in here guilty and dead, but you walk away forgiven and alive. And if that's not cause for jubilation, what is? One more thing. One more reason to light the pink candle and give a cry of exaltation. John brings light to the desert. John brings God's word to the desert. And he brings God's water here. Desert regions burst into bloom when water hits them. John is bringing water where there ought not to be any. John brings God's water to people who don't deserve it because he precedes the one who will win the Garden of Eden back for sinners. God the Son comes to where we've been cast out of Eden for breaking God's laws. And he picks those broken laws up and keeps every one of them. Go ahead, take some time. Run down all the laws of God you haven't done and can't do. See if you can find one that Jesus did not do. Can't? Is not there jubilation in finding yourself in Jesus, out from under all those laws that accuse you? And who bore the punishment for breaking those laws? You know, Jesus, only Jesus. John can bring a water into the desert that forgives sins and gives the Holy Spirit because Jesus won the right to send baptismal water to all nations, peoples, and places. There in that font is the water you've been seeking for, the forgiveness you've aimed for. It may seem hard to find joy in John, but it's not only there this third Sunday in Advent. It's always been there. It's always there. In fact, it was in John before he was even born. Don't you remember? Pregnant Mary goes to visit pregnant Elizabeth, and when the mother of the Lord's voice is heard by Elizabeth, John leaped for joy in her womb. John, like every great theologian after him, from Paul to Luther, knew that the bottom line of the true God is joy. Oh, not the gaudy joy the world sells this time of year, but the jubilation that God, for Jesus' sake, does not will to leave sinners in darkness, in silence, or thirsty. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.